Blog Talk Radio.
Today's topic was going to be about the 33 dynasties of Egypt. I'm on the 5th and the 6th dynasty, but I've taken a small turn, and if you stay around and listen, I think you'll really get something out of it. Anyway, I would like to thank my listeners who constantly surprise me with their listens on my channel or on my Blog Talk Radio. I would like to thank them. I would like to welcome any new listeners. Hello, how are you doing? I'd like to get out that call-in number to my new listeners since there are, you know, if there are any, and you may want to call in. That number is 347-994-3320. I want to say that one more time, 347-994-3320. And I would like to plug my social media. I am on Facebook. I am on Instagram. I am on Twitter. Follow me, like me, give me one of those little hearts that Instagram says, whatever. I'm on social media. I do have a presence there. I did mention last Thursday about my I Spoke challenge. I didn't get around to it. I am going to get around to it. I'm currently being busy, and staying busy has its own rewards. My saying for today will be, when opportunity knocks, you better be at home to answer the door, because it may not come back. And today, I was at home to answer the door. So, I want to share where I'll be. I want to plug the other places where you can hear Jeremy Speaks on. You can hear it on Podbean, Buzzsprout, of course, here on Blog Talk. And I'm starting not to share as much on Facebook as I used to. I'm trying to explore other avenues to share, you know, see if some other things may work as effectively. But from time to time, I'll drop a video on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, all these episodes that I record, all 30 minutes, can be found on my YouTube channel, the Negro Sports League. All right. I hope everyone had a good day. I had a wonderful day. My day was so wonderful that I changed the topic of today's show. If you read the title, you will see that I'm going to speak about the trillion-dollar market that is us. And before I forget, males of African origin, let's start speaking to each other. We better, because nobody's going to look out for us. Nobody's going to take care of us, and nobody especially is going to save us except us. And the only way to do that is to speak to each other. I challenge 5 of you to reach out and speak to someone that looks like you, just like I'm going to do. Anyway, on to today's subject, where I was at work, and my mind was, you know, thinking about the radio show, and I think I might have been on break. And I saw something that was talking about the wealth gap. So me being a naturally inquisitive person, I'm going to go and search for things that catch my fancy, right? So I did a little thumbnail research right quick, and I wanted to see, like, as a demographic, where do we, as the people of African origin, where do we rank in this country as far as a demographic, as far as how much money they get out of us and things like that? And I found a number that was absolutely staggering to me. $1.2 trillion is a number that we contribute to this. Or it may be a little high. Between 1.2 and 1.5, I'm going to be fair. I didn't find something that nailed down 1.2, but they estimated it was between 1.2 and 1.5 trillion dollars. That is buying power. Now, we have all these instances where things, I mean, we're only 14% of the entire population of this country. That's not a whole heaping lot, but $1.2 trillion. You know, companies will market their advertising and their marketing towards people that look like me, because I'm thinking that they're thinking, and I mean, it's kind of obvious after this point, after reading a little bit about it, that companies believe that if we, people of African origins, will buy it, then everybody else will. And there's some truth to that. Campaigns are specifically designed to target us, so we will think something is cool, so everybody else will think it is cool. You know, I got to kind of get my, I think I want to give myself a hand. Because everyone knows that money is a tool to get you to do what needs to be done, right? Money is also a tool to get things done as far as changing things. Now, we all out here in the streets marching, talking about this and talking about that, but it's not affecting anybody's bottom line. Once it affects someone's bottom line, things change. That's true with a lot of things. I'm not going to say all things, but things primarily will change. 100 years ago, we weren't perceived to be a market to be advertised to. You know? We weren't considered a market, a viable, like, they didn't think that black consumer, I'm going to use the word black because in my research, they don't put males of African origin, they put black. But in the non-too-distant past, black consumers were all but ignored. Ignored. 100 years ago, we weren't perceived to be a market. It was, of course, social, economic, and political reasons. But, you know, like, I'll give you an instance of what I mean. Like, the majority of blacks at that time lived in the rural South. And they were kind of isolated away from the economic markets in major cities of America. Secondly, many of these individuals found themselves ensnared as people, as peons and sharecroppers with little disposable income. And last but definitely not least, Jim Crow and segregation. We weren't even able to vote. So, of course, they didn't see us as a market that, you know, we can sell them stuff or this and that. And if they did put us in things or try to, they denigrate us. You know, this is they would use derogatory images like the big lips and the over exaggerated eyes and the, you know, those things. They would use that in their advertisements. They'd even name, and I'm gonna go out and say it, I'm gonna say it with the hard R. They would use the nigger term and naming their products, or, you know, they call the children pickaninnies. Wow. Like, that's 100 years ago, right? But then something changed. Great World War, because you know, with war comes money. When the World War happened, people began to migrate to look for jobs, created jobs. You know, they go out and try to find something better, create better opportunities for them and their loved ones. That would cause us to go places, right? By the end of World War II, we were strategically, as a people, as a demographic, we were strategically located in America's major urban markets with money to spend. And that forced these, I'm gonna stop using the words that define race altogether. I'm not going to use white anymore. I'm not going to use black. That was the powers that be at the time. They began to think in terms of, shit, we need to get on. We better get on the rise, because I don't care that they black. I don't care that they Negroes, coons, boys, whatever. They got green money, and I want that green money. You know, that I even read that a growing number of these firms, that like the corporate firms that would sell shit to people, these corporate firms hired Negro market specialists who became corporate American black pioneers. They throw American in there, but they got to throw black in there. But they were the pioneers. This is what we need to learn about. How come we're not taught about people who helped companies market things towards us? This thing is deep on many levels, man. You know, having $1 trillion in buying power, you know, and I see it as economic empowerment, but that market, that us, that 14% that make up the population of the United States, that market is larger than the entire nation of Spain. Think about that for a minute, right? Spain, the whole country of Spain, us, just as a demographic, that's valuable. Because if it's one thing we know that people in this country respect, it's money. And I'm gonna get around to that in a minute. I'm gonna propose challenges, you know, like homework assignments, I guess. I also learned that the Montgomery boycotts in the 50s, mid to I think it was like 55, 56, the Montgomery boycott remains to this day the model instance of organized, and I'm gonna use this word loosely because this is what it was written. I won't use it at all. The model instance of organized consumer activism. That's what we need, an exercise in consumer activism. You know, companies create marketing specifically towards us. If we buy it, other people will buy it. That tells me that we aren't behind at all. $1 trillion will be missed. $100 billion will be missed. But we're not behind at all. We're unfocused. We, as a demographic in this country, are unfocused. These marches might not necessarily get us justice. These protests might not necessarily get us justice. But if you hit them in the pocketbook, things just might get done. And I'm going to give myself an obligatory. We, in the mid-20th century, we made them realize that our money was important too. Now we need to recognize that we can do that again. We could collectively come together with our net incomes, because it's $1 trillion spending all this and that. We could affect something by doing that. Withhold your money. Money hurt people. Why are they not coming out to see this particular movie this week? We got all the characters in it. They look like them. I bet if you start hitting them in the pockets with the money, some things may change. I'm not going to say everything. I mean, the desegregation of baseball in the 40s, you know, that was an immediate result of us rising as important. See, they want us as consumers. They don't want to see our face. They don't want to see our face, and this pretty much goes for all people. They don't want to see our face. The people that's on the level with me that get up and push the broom or work the 9-to-5 and have to do it, this the level. We're the working class. They want to just work us, and then put us out back and take everything from us. And that goes for anybody. They only want us as consumers, because as long as we need stuff, we'll need them, right? Anyway, getting a little off topic here, but the key is we need to recognize how we can use our collective net incomes to bring about the dismantling of these draconian laws. You know, like the money's moving up. Yeah, great. Okay, what can we do with it? I did read where a congressman, his name was, Reverend Adam Clayton Powell Jr., his advice was to withhold the dollar to make the white man holler. And it changed things when people did that. That consumer activism contributed to the passing of the Civil Rights in 1964. Now, granted, things aren't, you know, at this point in time, things were worse. Sometimes I wake up and I ask myself, do I really live in this world? Is this real? You know, like, is this legitimate? I do know that if there's one thing that people respect, it's the buying power of a dollar. Now, we have buying power, we have spending power, but we also have a spending weakness, right? There are no historic black-owned enterprises right now, and that's a damn shame. With $1 trillion, it should be 100 billionaires everywhere, you know what I mean? Like, and that ain't even scratching the surface. It's kind of sad, you know, like, where I hear Jay-Z talking, he had a line on his song where he said, I'd be damned if I go by Belvedere while Puff got to rock. And to me, what Elon said was, we'd rather go and spend our money with somebody else instead of keeping it to ourselves. That's the key to breaking this curse. We are not behind. We are not behind. The wealth gap, I don't believe it's a myth. It is some truths in it. But we are not behind. We are clearly unfocused. Because if we are spending $1 trillion, but we don't have anything to show for it, what are we doing with our money? Right? What are we doing with our money? I mean, by the 70s, we are an overwhelmingly urban population. We lived in 81% of us in the 70s lived in urban areas compared to 72% of other Americans, non-African people. You know? The so-called white flight to the suburbs during the 50s and 60s, that contributed to the demographic shift too. And now this, and I want to touch on this right quick, the fact that we're starting to see more of us on screen now, I hope people don't get that confused. That is all on purpose. That is designed, because once they realize that we go out and spend money, they started putting us on TV a lot more now. You know, like, Hollywood turned to black consumers to help it avert financial ruin at one point. Think about that for a minute. Hollywood had to turn to us because people stopped going to the movies and stuff. So they turned to us like, oh, well, I guess we'll go to the next, you know. And I get it. You know, that was MGM made an appeal in the 70s with Shaft, and they was desperately trying to reach out to put people that looked like the people they were targeting on the screen. So we can be the coolest in the room. We can, if we'll do it, other people will do it, right? I think that's the message. I think that's the message. You know, MGM made bank off of us. Yet there are very few black directors. Excuse me. Oh, there's that bad word. I wish I'm going to download my boo so that every time I do that, I boo it. I need a rubber band on my hand. I mean, the blaxploitation, that's what sex, crime, and violence is what they gave us. But, I mean, then hip-hop came around, and we all know the story of that. You know, hip-hop came around, and, of course, you know, it wasn't going to last a year. And then they say, you know, it was, everybody's doing it, right? But my point in saying all of this is we have power. It's just unfocused power. If your electricity in your home was not focused to run through the breaker box or the outlets, and if it didn't have a design plan where it could go, it would just go everywhere. It would blow, or it would catch something on fire, or it would shoot out sparks. But once you control it and get it to go where you want it to go, now you can produce power in your home. Now you can do things like that because it is focused energy towards a goal. I need this light to come on. Click. You know, like, this stuff's not hard. I want to give out my call-in number one more time. If there's anyone listening for the first time and you ever feel the need to call in to Jeremy Speaks and talk to me on the radio, it's 347-994-3320. I would be doing my normal 33 Dynasties of Egypt, but I felt like this message was more important for me to get out, and I had to get it out because I learned that buying power like that, somebody's respecting something. They may not want to see our face, but they want our money. So who really has the power? If you $1 trillion will be missed. It'll be noticeably missed way before it gets to $1 trillion. And this is why it's so important that we speak to each other. We talk to each other. We force our way to make it work with each other so that we can get in front. We're not behind, because I tell you what, if we took $1 trillion and spent it with ourselves, things become, we don't need to go get bank loans. We don't need to go and ask people to give us money or this and that. If we keep it together, I wonder how much the GDP, or not the GDP, I wonder how much the market for the Hispanic, Latino, Mexican, and South American people that are crossing the border to get here, I wonder how much they contribute to this country as a whole. Because that is probably, they're going to be the majority in a few years. I wonder how much they contribute. That's something to think about. That's something to think about. We need, I don't want to just be somebody that just preaches it. I want to do it. You know, I want to move in action and not in words, you know. I don't want to just speak about it and do nothing. I want to, I know that they, this is something that also struck me. There are no Black African American insurance company. It's like that. They went from 50 to 2 in the, from between the 50s and today. They went from 50 to 2. And it's only 2 insurers left. We're not even in charge of our own insurance that we need to have. Why not? Is it because we won't support our own? Is that what it is? Because I don't think that spending $1 trillion elsewhere gets us anywhere, you know? You can still have the nice stuff. You can still have this and still have that. I just wanted to point out some discrepancies about that. We're valuable. The problem is I don't think we've been taught just how valuable we are. Therefore, we don't know. We don't think. We like things that are shiny. Hell, historically, we've always liked things that are shiny. You know, you can go look at some pictures of some friends. They don't build all these statues and build these pyramids and stuff with inscriptions and jewelry and things to guide them into the afterlife if they don't like nice things. Nice things are what defined us back in the Egyptian times, you know? That's who we are, who we were, who we need to be again. You know, they still kind of do things that have derogatory images with us, towards us. And you know what? I'm overcaring about it. I just found out that my 14%, my part of this 14% population in America has over $1 trillion of spending / buying power. Problem is we're not taught how to have saving power. Not, I wasn't taught. I'll speak for me. I was not taught how to have saving power. I'm not saying that's a people of African origin problem. That's just a socioeconomic problem. Like, you don't, it depends on your area and your education on your finances and stuff. You know, I ain't, that's one of my aims, to educate myself and others about things that I feel like I should have learned long ago. 35, and I'm just now finding out these things. You know, I'm shocked. I feel stupid for not having this information already in my back pocket, because like everybody, I spend. Why are there no gas stations that I could go to where the people look like me? I mean, I can go and some are working, but how many are owned? How many... You know, like 100 years ago, we weren't a market. Now we have more in our arsenal as far as money than a whole damn country, and we're only 14% of the population in this country. That is amazing that we don't do more for each other and talk to each other. It should be like Fight Club, you know? We should speak to each other, but nobody should ever know that we're speaking to each other. You know, what's the number one rule of Fight Club? You don't talk about Fight Club. What's the number two rule of Fight Club? You don't talk about Fight Club. And I'm thinking it should be something like that. This Tuesday, it'll be back to, Tuesday will be back to my normal. Wednesdays will be back to the 33 Dynasties of Egypt. I have been enjoying that series, and it's crazy to see people that built pyramids with noses like me, lips like me, ears like me, and hair like me. That is mind-blowing. I just want to give my listeners who may not be familiar with my schedule, I will be going back. Jeremy Speaks on Everything will be tomorrow and Thursday, and Wednesday and Friday of this week, I will be going back to my Egyptian quest to find things on myself, you know. I do want to just shout out the women of African origin, because my mother is one, so I decided to find out some information on one, and I found out some information on Angela Davis. She is a political activist, academic scholar, and author. She was the leader of the Communist Party USA in the 1960s. She would advocate for prisoner rights, She co-founded the Critical Resistance, an organization working to abolish the prison industrial complex. Membership in the Communist Party led to former Governor of California Ronald Reagan's request in 1969 to bar her from teaching at any university in California. Really now. She conducts research on feminism, African American studies, I hate that label, critical thinking, Marxism, popular music, and social consciousness. Twice a candidate for vice president on the Communist Party USA ticket during the 1980s, and that is Angela Davis. She was born January 26, 1944, and she is still alive. She was rocking a fro back then. And one to deal with our topic of today, and that is the Montgomery bus boycott, which I did speak on. It was in Montgomery, Alabama from 1955 to 1956. And this shows you that the true power of a dollar is in not spending them. This was a political and social protest campaign against the policy of racial segregation within the public transit system of Montgomery, and it lasted 381 days. Prominent figures in the civil rights movement participated in the boycott. Their names were Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, I don't know if you've ever heard of that guy, Ralph Abernathy, and Rosa Parks demanded Montgomery busing segregation laws be eliminated. It proved. I want to say that one more time. Economic boycotts by the African American population could lead to great results in the battle for civil rights, as the racial segregation of public segregation crumble under the financial losses of the companies, but we should have formed and supported our own companies by the same token. Despite this proof, the collective African-American efforts to economically boycott seem to have stagnated. I wish this energy and effort would find a way to birth itself again. That goes to show you the staying power of a dollar. We just have a saving and a stop spending problem. But like I said, I stated that was more socioeconomic than anything else. That was the Montgomery boycott and bus boycott. And we can get back to that again if we all come together to speak. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank you for listening to my show today. I had fun learning about this subject. And if anybody leave a like on my YouTube channel, leave a comment, you know. This Tuesday, I'm going to try something new. I will be taking phone calls. I would like to take phone calls on Tuesdays and Thursdays going forward. So if anybody out there listening right now would like to call in Tuesday or Thursday, I'm going to give out that call-in number one more time. That is 347-994-3320. 347-994-3320. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. And remember, if we'll buy it, others will buy it too. It's fact. Companies push agendas based on us. If we're the coolest people when we walk in the room, doesn't that kind of make us the coolest people anywhere? I don't know. Some food for thought. This is what I would like to encourage everyone to do. Look up consumer activism. Consumer activism. We are 14% of the population. And we have $1 trillion in buying power. Like, share, subscribe, comment, criticize. It is all welcome. I would like to once again thank you. Catch me tomorrow at 6:30 here on Blog Talk Radio. And I wish you all a good night. Also, before I go, to the people who were affected by the shooting, and I feel bad for the families. I feel terrible because it's not safe to go anywhere. I hope those people find a way to make it through. I've been Jeremy Speaks. Peace. Yeah.
guerrilla tactics.